End verse 31 through 33. First of all, let me say to you that tonight we're speaking on the magnitude of the church. The magnitude. Magnitude is defined by Webster's Dictionary as greatness of size or extent. It is greatness of importance or influence. The brightest of the stars in the heavens are called stars of the first magnitude. And the church, there's a magnitude about the church. Look at chapter 4, verse 31 in the book of Acts, if you would. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. And they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The magnitude of the church. God's church has greatness in many, many ways. We are light bearers. We reflect the light of the glory of God. We are being changed into the image of Jesus Christ by the spiritual walk with God and by the circumstances of what we face in life. The church is greater than any political body, any government, any nation, any institution. The church is the body of Christ. You are the church. We are the church. And the body bears the image of Christ, and he is to be exalted. Let's look at Colossians in your Bibles, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. Speaking of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Preeminent one, meaning first place. Christ is of the first magnitude. He's above all. And he is because we live because of him. Christ is to be revered. He's to be lifted up. He's to be exalted. He's to be praised. Peter told the Jewish officials that we are to obey God rather than man. And the Jewish officials didn't appreciate that statement. They beat the early apostles on numerous occasions, but they continued to serve the Lord anyway. The church is great because of its founder. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, "Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And Christ is the foundation of the church and the founder of the church. Christ has made the church so that it is divine in its origin. It is divine in its ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. It is divine in its government, which is congregational government. It is divine in its objective to make disciples of all nations of people, teaching them the Word of God on how to be saved, and then baptizing those that believe, and we're to do this among all nations of people. What a blessing that we can share the gospel with people from every nation. The early church was great, as we saw in Acts. They had great power. They spoke with boldness. They gave witness of the resurrection. And the Bible says great grace was upon them all. Thank God for the grace of God. In Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, there was a couple in the church that tried to bring a con on the church to make themselves look good. They lied about their giving, said they sold a piece of land and brought all the money and gave it to the church. The truth was they made an arrangement beforehand to keep back a portion of the money. Now, it was their land. They could have kept it all. It was their land. When they sold it, they could have said, we're going to give half the money. But they were deceptive in the way they did it, and for that, God struck them dead. And because of that, both the husband and the wife died, and great fear came upon the church and as many as heard about this. Imagine if God was still doing that sort of thing today, striking people dead for lying about their giving. I imagine great fear would come upon a church and great fear upon the community that saw that kind of thing happen. In Acts 6:8, great wonders and miracles were done by Stephen, and he spoke with wisdom and the Spirit, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees could not overcome his words because he simply told them the story of Moses and Israel and of God's blessings unto them. Chapter 8, verse 8, great joy resulted in the city because God sent Philip to preach in Samaria, and the people believed his message. And many were delivered of unclean spirits, and many were healed. So the result was great joy. It was a spiritual revival with deliverance from demonic forces and deliverance from sickness and illness. In chapter 15 and verse 3, preaching, they declared the conversion of the Gentiles. And great joy resulted. When we have missionaries that come back to report on the work they're doing in a foreign field, and they show slides often and say this fellow was saved and his whole family got saved and now he feels called to preach and so we're training him and he's going to be starting a church and we're going to help him do that. That's just glorious to hear that kind of thing taking place. It was glorious in the book of Acts in the early church, and it's still glorious today to hear those same kind of reports that go out. In chapter 11, verse 21, a great number believed and turned to the Lord at Antioch. In chapter 14, Barnabas and Paul were at Iconium. They went into the synagogue and spoke, and a great number believed of the Jews and the Greeks. At the average synagogue, that was a precursor to the local church. The temple was in one location, but in every major city, there could be synagogues. Synagogue means a gathering place. And the synagogues were established. I've read that the rabbis felt if there were at least 10 Jewish families, then they would send a Levite or priest to them to teach them, and they would form a synagogue, and then they would have a place where any Gentiles who were becoming proselytes to believe in God could come and could hear the messages, though they were separated by a wall of partition. Now, when Christ established the local church, he tore down the wall of separation from the races of people and from the ethnic differences and from the male and female, and now we're one in Jesus Christ, and we don't have to be separated. The only reason for separation is if a person cannot understand the language, and then you can have a class where they can have a translator to hear and understand the word in their own language. At Thessalonica, some of the Jews believed, and a great number of Greeks and women who were of reputation believed. The magnitude of the early church was great because great numbers of people were saved and united together and began to witness to others. You'll remember at Pentecost, 3,000 were saved. And then in just a matter of a few days, 5,000 were saved. And then the Bible says, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We don't see enough people getting saved nowadays, friends. We need to pray for the lost to be saved. We need to witness to the lost so they'll hear the message and be saved. We need to share our own testimony with them about how God saved us. Brother Ab taught us in the teachers' meetings and workers' meetings that the majority of people who are saved in the world get saved between the age of 4 years of age and 14 years of age. That the 85% of people who are saved in that time frame. Now, I didn't get saved till I was 24, and my wife got saved same time I did. She was a year and a half younger than me. And we've had people, I went door to door in this town when we first came here, and they happened to fall on this one street over, Sidney Johnson Street, and I got into the Warren home, and the Warrens were related to Linda Brooks, and Linda Brooks' mom and daddy, the Nances, they had 10 or 11 children, and Mr. Nance and Mrs. Warren were brother and sister, and the Warrens had about 10 or 12 kids. So if you get two families like that in church and get them all coming, you can build a church real quick, you know. Well, Ben Warren was probably 68 years old when he got saved and baptized in this church. Miss Lily Mae got saved and baptized. She had a stroke and couldn't swallow for 17 years. She had a feeding tube in her stomach, but she hardly ever missed a church service. She would come. She would pray for her children and for her grandchildren, and a number of them were saved over the years in those days. Thank God that people get saved, and people can still get saved today. But it's we're battling forces beyond what we've experienced in the past. And the world's philosophies are being bombarded with this woke-ism and with just plain lies and leading people astray. And God help us to be strong in our faith and strong in our witness, that the church might be of the first magnitude with the light of the gospel. There's a greatness in the history of the church because of Christ and the apostles. Christ is the foundation. The apostles were the pillars of the church. And they had the same purpose and teaching and responsibilities that we still have today in doing the work of the Lord. Greatness in purpose to make disciples of all nations. Greatness in the people of God. The magnitude is not the building or the size of the congregation, but the character and the unity of the people of God is what makes us great. We don't call ourselves great. We look to serve our great God and make His name known to all others around us. There's a greatness in the message of the church. Romans 1:16-17, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15. The church is in the same building philosophy as Nehemiah was back in the Old Testament in the book of Nehemiah chapter 1 verse number 4. He heard as a servant in the captive land that his homeland was in a bad way. He heard of their circumstances. Many of the homes had been destroyed. The gates of the city had been burned with fire. Some of the wall had been torn down. So there was no protection around the dwellings within the city of Jerusalem. He sat down and he grieved because of what he heard. The Bible says he wept and mourned before God for certain days and fasted and prayed. And his prayer is recorded in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. He knew his people had no protection from the other nations coming upon them because the gates were not there. The wall was not finished. God raised him up to go and do the job in the same way he had raised up Zerubbabel to lay the foundation for the temple to be rebuilt. And 50,000 of the Jews who were captive were released to go back and to rebuild what had been torn down. Now their enemies didn't like that. Their enemies tried to hinder the work just like enemies try to hinder the church today. I've heard that Biden is working together with the undercurrent of the world to try to bring pressure on crisis pregnancy centers because they provide an alternative to abortion. I mean, this country is just completely sick about wanting to kill babies. They deserve the judgment of God. And he's the ringleader of them all, of course, if he knows what he's doing. I don't know whether he does or not. Their enemies tried to hinder them, and our enemies try to hinder us today. They tried intimidation. They tried political appeals to the rulers over them. They tried to gain compromise with them, to get them to gather with them and therefore water down what they were doing. But Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down off the wall to you. We are doing a great work and we must not get sidetracked from the work of the Lord. We've got to keep building the work. We've got to keep spreading the gospel. We've got to keep preaching the word. We've got to keep living for God and putting Him first in our lives. There's a greatness in the work. Those 50,000 people went back to rebuild the wall, and we are often praying for laborers in the work of the Lord. Imagine 50,000 laborers. They had to be fed. They had to be protected. At one point in time, with one hand, they held a trowel to pile up the mortar. And with the other hand, they held a sword. And when they were attacked, they'd turn around and fight with the sword. And when they got the victory, then they'd go back with the trowel and start laying block again. And that was an amazing thing to go through. We are building and battling in the Church of Jesus Christ all the time. And we must not get sidetracked from the work of the Lord. It's a great task that we're doing. There's also a great cost in building churches and sending missionaries. We have over $2 million in buildings and property in this location now. Thank God we don't owe any money on it. God has been so good. And we have built this over a period of years. And we have accomplished a church in this county, in this community, that was not here before. There was nothing here but a forest. The apartments next door are called Forest Ridge Apartments because all of this was just pine trees and a forest. And God has let us carve out a place to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. And it's a great work that we are doing. In the last 12, 13 years, we've sent $1 million to missions, to almost 50 missionaries and the works that they do in various places. The greatness in our future and glorious promises of heaven. We are looking for a new heaven and a new earth to come one day. And all this world we live in will rust, bust, and collect dust. And one day it's going to make a big pile of ashes when it all burns up. But we have a new heaven and a new earth to look forward to. There'll be a great transformation when we're called to heaven to be with the Lord. There's a great place prepared for us in heaven that we'll abide. There's a great reward that God will give unto us that will not go away. It is eternal and reserved in the heavens for us. There's a great salvation that will be completed when we gain a new body. And then we'll come back to this earth to the great kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ as he is exalted over his people, and we will rule and reign with him in the kingdom. So let us be diligent to be found in peace and without spot and blameless, acknowledging and looking for the Lord to come, and recognize the magnitude of the church. The work we do is the greatest work on earth. It's better than buildings of schools. It's better than political parties. It's better than governments. This is the body of Christ. And when people get saved, they get saved for all eternity. Let's pray to the Lord. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. Pray you'll bless the message to the hearts of those at home that are watching on live streaming and those who are here tonight. Bless these folks for coming and protect them as they travel. Lord, we are all dependent upon you and we seek your face. We pray you'll give us, Lord, a reminder to be a witness when we have the opportunity. We pray you'll give us a touch of your great power that we might speak the word with boldness and tell people how to be saved and learn a way of witness that gains favor with men because it has favor with you. And Lord, bless your people tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Miss Gwen will play through a verse of an invitational hymn.